we know that Jesus tells a lot of parables. And in addition to the one that we just heard here about the people being locked out and the Lord inside saying, I don't know where you're from, he told a similar parable just two chapters earlier in the same Gospel of Luke. This was, what, chapter 13. And two chapters earlier, he tells the parable about the guy who goes to his friend's place at night because he's got a guest or somebody visiting, and he wants to borrow some bread. And his friend inside the house says, "Don't bother me. The doors aren't even locked. My children and I are already in bed. I can't get up to get you anything." You remember this parable? Yeah, okay. Then, eventually the guy does get up. Because Jesus says, "I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence." Because he's just knocking, knocking, knocking. It is very comforting to be told that if we just keep knocking, God will give us what we need. And he'll do what we want him to do. But is that really the message of that parable? Because why is it that in one parable, the guy's let in and he gives him his bread, while in the other parable, they're left out, locked out still? How is that consistent? How is that fair? Two chapters difference from Jesus telling it in Luke's Gospel one and then the other. Well, let's take a look at this. In the first parable about the guy who wants bread in the middle of the night, and he finally will give it to him, who was knocking on the door? His friend. And in the second one, the one we heard in the Gospel today, when they're locked out, who's knocking at the door? Strangers. A stranger. You know, they say, "Well, but we've been eating together in the streets, and you've been teaching, and we pass each other in the streets all the time." And Jesus answers, in essence, "Yeah, but that doesn't mean we know each other. It just means we pass each other in the streets, or we happen to be at the same festival with all the food, or we happen to be, or you listened to me once or something, but we didn't get to know each other. How do we..." Knowing each other is essential to these parables here. The personal relationship with Jesus. And in fact, the parable today exposes this trap. The Jewish people are asking this Jewish rabbi, who's going to be let in? Is it just going to be a few of us? Or will many be let into the kingdom? Into heaven, essentially. Will only a few be saved, they ask. And the few they are thinking about are themselves. They are the chosen people of God, right? So they're already in, right? But they want to know, will anyone else, aside from the ethnically Jewish people who have been the chosen people of God for a long time, will anybody else be let in? Will more be saved? And the trap here, the assumption, the presumption, is that because they're already Jewish, that means they're already into heaven. They're insiders. I know that we'll be saved, but who else? Jesus has to knock down this presumption. And it's hard, because the Jewish identity is very strong, ethnic identity. And that's good. I mean, any ethnic identity should be strong. But Jesus has to kind of damage that identity a little bit by saying, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Because the first thing he tells them after they ask, who will be in? Who will be saved? Just a few. He says, he doesn't even respond to that. He says, follow the narrow path. They'll both try to get through the narrow gate. Just because you're ethnically Jewish, or just because you're part of the chosen people, doesn't mean it's an automatic in. And same thing, when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus, the way we think of inside and outside doesn't necessarily mean the same thing to us as it means to God. God can read our hearts. You know, we have a schema for knowing who's in and who's out for the church, just the way Jewish people would too. And just the same way that any government does, or any club, I mean, the Lions Club. Who is a lion and who isn't? Who is a citizen and who isn't? Same thing goes for a gang. Who's part of our gang and who isn't? So, For the church, I'll review what it means to be in the church and out, but we can't get hung up on these, okay? Because this parable warns us not to. But it is this, though. We're part of the church when we participate together in the sacraments, starting with baptism. When we believe the same thing, we profess the creed together. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty. Yeah. And when we respond to church governance. Again, Jesus put Peter in charge, and these are the 12 disciples, and he gave Mary as our mother. And if we respond to this organization that Jesus set for us, then we're in, as far as the church is concerned. So, I was baptized. I attend Mass. I believe every statement in the creed, and I'm obedient to our bishop, and I take seriously the things that he says. Okay? And when he corrects me, I accept it, because I believe that he is someone whom God has put in his position. And I don't just mean me, I mean any of us could say that, and regardless of ordination or not, and we are in. You know, that's in. But what about this? Anyone ever read Dante's big, long poem, the Divine Comedy? One. Okay, good. In Dante's Divine Comedy, it's a fictional poem, story, Dante's being shown around the afterlife by Virgil. And they go from, they start in hell, then he shows them around purgatory, then he finally shows them around heaven. But while they're in hell, they see a lot of people that Dante names. That guy's in hell. That guy's, and this is a fictional, this is not saying the church knows who is and who isn't in hell or not, but Dante was, he's telling stories, so he puts people there. But he also puts some clergy and some bishops and some popes. Now here's the thing, clergy are very much perceived to be insiders, right? I'm in the church. And not that we all aren't, but I'm in. And the perception is that more so than lay people, I'm in the church. That's unfair, I disagree with that, but that's the assumption that people make. To be an insider though, doesn't matter to Dante. These guys are still in hell, they didn't get to heaven. Doesn't matter to Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're ethnically Jewish or not. It's the following. It's the discipleship. They can be all in as far as the church is concerned. Those three little things that I described. And yet be out when it comes to being in the afterlife. Because God reads hearts, he knows ultimately who has chosen to follow and who has not chosen to follow. So there's no particular benefit to being an insider, which is what Jesus has to kind of shake the Jewish people who ask the question today. Here's the thing, though. That presumption of being in, that's a problem, that's a spiritual trap that people can fall into. And it's the one that Jesus is afraid that that these people might be close to falling into. But it's not the only spiritual trap out there. The opposite is also a trap. And that's despair. When we despair, we give up hope that heaven is even a possibility. We give up hope that God doesn't desire good things for me, doesn't want me in heaven. We give up hope that that God won't or can't forgive me. We give up hope that God won't or can't love me. This is also dangerous. This is also damaging to our souls because it's also not true. It's the opposite problem. The presumption and the despair are the opposite problems, but the solution to all of them that Jesus recommends the people through this parable today is don't presume, don't despair, keep hope alive, and walk the path of discipleship. The path of discipleship is a narrow gate, but it is the one that leads to heaven. And it's a path that doesn't allow for just anything. You can't do everything on the discipleship path. It's a particular style of life. I mean, imagine going to boot camp. Or spring training for baseball or something. It requires a certain diet and a certain exercise and a certain cutting out of a lot of other activities that are just not going to help you when you need to be winning the World Series or you need to be a soldier on the field. Discipleship is the same. Following Jesus is the same. Not everything is permissible. Not everything. We can't do just anything and call ourselves disciples. If we want to arrive at where this path leads, to heaven, then it's a particular style of life. A striving after virtue, even if we're not perfect. I'll end with just a quote from a Jesuit, Father John Foley, who kind of makes it pretty pithy, which is really helpful. We've got these people knocking at the doors we let in the parable today, and so he said, "Get to know God now. Do not delay till you get to heaven's gates." Because at that point, if we're knocking on the door and he says, "Well, I haven't known you this whole time, why would you want to be in now? You didn't want to be in before." May we be sincere in our discipleship, surely. But let us not be presumptive. But let us certainly not despair that God doesn't want us in heaven, or is trying to put roadblocks or tests up to keep us out. No. God wants us in heaven, and he's given us the path. He's given us the path of discipleship that will lead us to where he really loves and wants us to come to, and that is heaven.